Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Holding the Line is Guy M. Snodgrass 2019 memoir of his service as Chief Speechwriter and Communications Director for Secretary of Defense James Mattis during the Trump administration. Snodgrass, a retired Navy aviator and former Top Gun instructor, writes from the perspective of a staff officer close to senior decision-making, rather than from the standpoint of a cabinet principal or outside historian. The book examines Mattis' leadership style, the internal culture of the Pentagon front office, the relationship between the Defense Department and the White House, and the pressures placed on civilian-military decision-making in a politically unstable period. Its purpose is partly documentary and partly reflective. Snodgrass records key moments he witnessed, explains how messaging and policy coordination worked around Mattis, and considers what senior public service demands from those who operate near power. The result is an insider memoir that combines admiration for Mattis with criticism of his management choices and political limitations. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Mattis is a revered commander, adapting uneasily to civilian leadership. A central tension in Holding the Line is the gap between James Mattis' reputation as an exceptional Marine general and the very different demands of serving as Secretary of Defense. Snodgrass presents Mattis as disciplined, intellectually serious, intensely loyal to troops, and deeply shaped by decades of military command. Those qualities made him credible inside the armed services and reassured many observers who feared instability in the Trump administration. Yet the book also shows that battlefield authority did not automatically translate into effective civilian governance. As secretary, Mattis had to manage political relationships, integrate civilian expertise, work with Congress, and influence a president whose instincts often diverged from established defense policy. Snodgrass suggests that Mattis' preference for tight circles and familiar military advisors sometimes narrowed the range of advice reaching him. The book is therefore not a simple tribute. It asks whether a leader formed by command culture can successfully operate in an environment where persuasion, coalition building, and bureaucratic openness are as important as decisiveness. Secondly, the Pentagon front office as a high-pressure communications machine, Snodgrass' role gives the book a distinctive angle on how senior defense leadership communicates. Holding the Line is not only about policy outcomes, it is also about the preparation, wording, timing, and discipline required to represent the Secretary of Defense. As speechwriter and communications director, Snodgrass had to translate Mattis' views into public remarks, coordinate with staff, anticipate political sensitivities, and protect the credibility of the department. The book shows that communications work at this level is not decorative. It shapes how allies, adversaries, troops, journalists, and White House officials understand American defense policy. Snodgrass also emphasizes the burden of proximity. A speechwriter must know enough to capture a principal's thinking, but must also maintain trust and confidentiality. This creates an ethical tension when later writing memoirs about public service. The book stands out because it treats strategic messaging as part of governance itself, not merely as public relations after decisions have already been made. Thirdly, civil-military boundaries under strain in the Trump era, the book repeatedly returns to the difficulty of maintaining sound civil-military relations during a turbulent presidency. In Mike, Mattis entered office as a retired four-star general who required a congressional waiver to serve as defense secretary, a fact that already raised questions about the relationship between military prestige and civilian control. Snodgrass portrays the Pentagon as trying to preserve institutional norms while responding to a president who often preferred personal loyalty, abrupt decisions, and direct pressure over regular process. This tension appears in discussions of policy coordination, public messaging, and the handling of politically sensitive issues. The account suggests that senior defense officials were not merely implementing policy, but also trying to contain disorder and protect legal, ethical, and alliance commitments. At the same time, the book does not present resistance as simple heroism. It reveals the ambiguity of unelected officials trying to influence or slow decisions made by elected leaders. That ambiguity makes the civil-military theme one of the book's most intellectually useful dimensions. Fourthly, insularity, staff selection, and the cost of narrow advisory circles. One of the book's more critical arguments concerns Mattis' reliance on a small, familiar group of aides and military officers. Snodgrass indicates that Mattis valued trust, speed, loyalty, and shared background, all understandable preferences for a leader working in a hostile political environment. However, the account also shows the possible cost of that approach. When a secretary depends heavily on insiders who think alike or share the same institutional experience, dissenting views can weaken, civilian policy expertise can be underused, and the department can become less adaptive. This matters because the Pentagon is too large and complex to be managed through personal confidence alone. It requires structured access to specialists, regional experts, legal advisors, acquisition officials, and career civilians who understand long-running problems. Snodgrass critique is therefore broader than personality. It points to a governance lesson: trust is essential in high office, but if trust becomes too closely tied to familiarity, it can reduce the quality of decision-making. Lastly, ethics, loyalty, and institutional integrity in moments of political pressure. Holding the line is especially interested in the practical ethics of senior government service. Snodgrass describes an environment where officials had to balance loyalty to a leader, loyalty to the Constitution, loyalty to the institution, and loyalty to the people affected by defense decisions. The book includes episodes involving sensitive policy disputes and politically charged pressures, including public reporting around the Jetty Cloud contract and claims that President Trump wanted Amazon excluded. Snodgrass presents Mattis as resisting improper interference and trying to preserve legal process, which illustrates a recurring theme: institutional integrity often depends on individuals who insist that procedure matters even when political incentives point elsewhere. The memoir also explores personal loyalty from the staff perspective. Snodgrass admired Mattis and worked intensely to support him, yet later chose to publish a critical account. That choice raises questions about confidentiality, public accountability, and who gets to narrate government history. The book does not resolve these tensions neatly, but it makes them visible. In conclusion, Holding the Line is best suited for readers interested in national security leadership, Pentagon culture, civil-military relations, and the inner workings of the Trump administration. Military officers, civilian defense professionals, speechwriters, policy students, and readers of political memoirs will find value in its staff-level perspective. Its practical benefit lies in showing how high office functions through preparation, access, trust, message discipline, and ethical judgment under pressure. Its intellectual benefit lies in complicating the image of Mattis as either unquestioned guardian or failed cabinet secretary. Snodgrass admires Mattis' character and service, while also identifying limits in his political management and advisory structure. Compared with broader Trump-era books, this memoir is narrower but closer to the daily mechanics of defense leadership. Compared with Mattis' own leadership writing, it is less polished as a command philosophy and more revealing about the frictions of governing. Its distinctive contribution is the viewpoint of a communications aide who observed the boundary between military professionalism, civilian authority, and presidential politics from inside the Pentagon. If you would like to support Guy M. Snodgrass, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.